We are negative 58 seconds behind schedule. And so I'm just kidding. So good to see everybody this evening. And good to have the Hoopers with us. And of course, they've been visiting on Sunday nights when we've been downstairs during our summer program. But we got the children's home on the road tonight. I believe they're at Sweetwater Baptist off Sweetwater Church Road over there by where we live at, actually. And so let's pray for them. Maybe Brother Brian might be preaching tonight. I'm sure he is. So let's remember him and them. And good service this morning, didn't we? Did we have a good service? Y'all enjoy that? All right. That's good claps. That's good. And but we enjoyed that thoroughly. And just remember, homecoming is going to be next Sunday morning at 10:30. And the choir, I'll need to see you at, originally it's 9:15. If we can do 9, so we can be ready by 9:15, that'll be good. Not sure if Brother Allen's going to be back or not, but we're ready. If he is or if he isn't, we will be ready and with some different song choices. So just remember that, and let's just remember each other, everybody on the prayer list. Miss Cheryl, she came home today from the hospital, and the kidney stones that she has, she's at home recovering from that. She still has the stones, still has them. So we need to continue to pray for her on that. And again, continue to pray for Brother Allen, my grandfather, and all the rest of them, Miss Connie, and those who are at home. Do we have any special requests tonight? More like a Wednesday night service. But do we have anything to share? Anybody has anything to share? Brother Seelon? Okay. Thank you for that update. I told her no more falling, you know, after the last time she fell. But we will reach out to Miss Pat. So remember that. Remember, there's some addresses in your bulletin. If you want to write a card to someone, that'll be good. And we appreciate those who have wrote cards already. And so let's just remember all these things. All right. Brother Don, if you want to come on down, we'll do the Sunday night offering. And Miss Becky's going to play a little something while we take up the offering. And then she's going to sing and play a special for us. And then I'll bring the message tonight. Brother Billy, would you take us to the Lord in a word of prayer and bless the offering? Amen. Thank you. Amen. That's some good playing right there. We appreciate them coming. I was talking to someone earlier, and you guys actually met my brother before me. And I really hope Chris is watching tonight and gets to hear you play Miss Becky. I know Brother Billy, you mentored him for a while, I believe, and he preached around a little bit, Chris did. And then, of course, I got saved and started preaching a while after that. But it's just so good to have y'all in service with us the times you have. And such a double blessing to have you playing tonight, Miss Becky. So you feel free to play what you want, how long you want. But I just asked one, if you want to do two, whatever, just feel free. Make yourself at home. All right.
Pray for me.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm just plain and ordinary. I let the Spirit lead me. I wouldn't want it any other way. David sang the praises of the glory of Jehovah. Paul preached that all is lost, save knowing Christ. Little John said he's precious by leaning on his bosom. So for a moment, may I humbly testify. And did I mention that I love him, how I worship and adore him, when I can't see no way, he makes a way.
That I love. What a blessing. Miss Becky's going to sing one at the very end, and so we appreciate that. God has us kind of doing something different around here at Calvary, doesn't he? We are praying for a pianist, and we are updating the church, and we are reaching out to the community. We are certainly throwing out all the nets, and with a prayer that the Lord sees our efforts and will bless us. And honestly, we know that A lot of churches are in the same condition. A lot of churches are struggling. We're not just few in number in some of our services. A lot are. A lot of churches are few in number. And that's because of the world and the day and time we're living in. They'd rather be out there than in here. But you wait and see. When something bad happens, they come in here, Miss Becky, and we receive them. We sure do. Tonight, I want to mention something to you out of the book of Matthew, chapter number 3. Again, this morning, we preached close to an hour. So tonight, we're going to be kind of short and just preach as long as God wants us to. But there is something that I want to share out of Matthew, chapter number 3. One verse, that is verse number 17. You know, the Lord sometimes speaks to me through other people, and He even speaks to me. He has spoke to me through my doctors before, and some stuff has stuck with me. And tonight I want to share something with you that's compiled from some different things that I've heard different people say that has just really, really helped me. And so we want to bow for a word of prayer, and then we're going to read Matthew 3, verse number 17. Father, we love You. We thank You tonight, God, for Your goodness, for salvation. Thank You, Lord, that You've been faithful to us. Though there's those times where we believe not, yet You abide faithful. Thank You for Miss Becky, Brother Billy, and them coming our way. Lord, how refreshing it is when we come together and worship together. We need to continue to do this more often. Churches come together. We are living in the last days. And so, Father, help us be about Your business and help us be an encouragement tonight. We love You. We thank You. We praise You. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. Matthew chapter number 3, familiar verse number 17. The Bible says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is My beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." We know that John the Baptist was preparing the way for the Lord. And in fact, in verse number 1 and 2, it says that in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." And so we know that he introduced Jesus to the world. He says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And we know he got baptized here. And regardless of what our Church of Christ friends think, Jesus is not setting forth an example that baptism is essential for salvation. Some say, well, he got baptized because he was telling others that you have to get baptized. But he was actually emulating the kind of death that he would have. He would die upon a cross. He would be buried, and he would raise again from the dead on the third day. And that's what baptism is. When we get baptized, we portray what happened on the inside. When we accepted Jesus, the old man died and was buried, and we have a spiritual resurrection. We walk in the newness of life. But tonight, I want you to notice in verse number 17, three things about the Father's love. That's the title tonight, A Father's Love. And I would like to relate God's love for His Son to us and how He loves us. But also parentally, as parents, we love our children. So if I can accomplish that in the next few moments, I think that we'll be doing good tonight. And so first of all, three things we see according to the Father's love for His Son. And we see that in three ways. Number one is His position. He says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is My beloved Son." My beloved Son. So we see that Jesus is the Son of God. You know that. You've heard that your entire life, I'm sure, or the majority of your life. But it wasn't just His Son. It was His beloved Son. And the words beloved, or the word beloved, means dearly loved. Dearly loved. Let me say this. Not only was Jesus the beloved Son, but He was also the only begotten Son. I'm a stickler on that word begotten. Because the word begotten means straight from, or only one. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." It was His begotten Son, His only Son of its kind, straight from Him. Much of you know, I'm sure everybody knows except for Miss Becky and Brother Billy, but I love baseball cards. I love baseball cards. I used to collect them when I was little, and something happened during my duration here, and I just wanted an extra hobby, and I started collecting baseball cards. And if you find a one-of-one baseball card of any kind, or football card, basketball card, it has some kind of value to it because it's the only one of its kind. I remember one day when I opened a pack of cards, and I got a Michael Harris rookie card, and it was a superfractor rookie card. Y'all know what a superfractor is. And it was a one of one. It was a golden card. It was a one of one. I spent just a few dollars on the pack of cards, and not promoting buying and selling and trading cards tonight, but I was able to sell it for $300. And so, amen. So that helped out a little bit. What did I do? I bought some more cards. But we see that Jesus is the only begotten Son. He's a one of one. He is here. He is the beloved Son. He is dearly loved. God loves and loved His Son dearly. I want to say this also under His position as His Son. God had fellowship with the Son before the world was. Turn to John, or follow on the screens, John 17, verse number 5. Just for a moment, John 17, verse 5. Listen to this. I can't fully explain this, but all I can say is the position in the Godhead is differentiated here, and there was some kind of fellowship before the world was. John 17, 5. The Bible says, "And now, O Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self, with the glory which I had with Thee before the world was." We know there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, but also there are three distinct offices as well, and persons as well. And so I can't fully explain it. I don't know how it happened, but the Bible declares here that the Father and the Son, they had fellowship before the world was. And what a blessing it is tonight to know that on the day that Jesus was baptized, He looked down from heaven, and with a voice, with His voice, He said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Just think about when He said those words. He's speaking from a time of fellowship from eternity past. And now He sent His Son, and His Son is on a mission, and it's His beloved Son, it's His begotten Son, a one of one, the only one of His kind. And He looked down, and He was so proud of His Son. And so there was fellowship between the Father and the Son before the world was. But also when it comes to the Son, God allowed His Son to encounter pain, but for a greater cause. Think about that for a moment. God the Father allowing God the Son to go through what He did, and being beaten and scourged and whipped and beard plucked, crown of thorns upon His head and nailed to a cross. He allowed Him to encounter that kind of pain simply because He had a greater cause. But then also when it comes to this Son, God must have experienced heartbreak. Think about it. When Jesus was on the cross, within His humanity and feeling the weight of sin, He said, "Father, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" Think about the heartbreak of God. We know that it was a plan that was planned before the foundations of the world. God the Father knew, God the Son would experience that, but He still had a Father's heart and a Father's love. God can feel emotional pain, I believe. If not, then it'd be impossible to grieve the Holy Spirit and quench the Holy Spirit. When His Son was on the cross, I'm sure He experienced a level of pain there. When His Son said, "Father, why hast Thou forsaken Me?" The Son experienced His Father's power when He raised Him from the dead. And then finally, the Son was reunited with His Father, and He is seated tonight at the right hand of the throne of God. You say, "Brother Justin, what does this have to do with me tonight?" Talking about a Father's love and talking about God the Father, God the Son, and His position. Well, in like manner, we are beloved of our Father as well. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 1. I'll just give it to you. Listen to what the Bible says here. I had it marked earlier, then I lost it. Just give me a second. 1 John chapter number 3, verse number 1. Listen to this. Behold, we looked at that word behold a while back. It means stop, look, listen. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Behold, what manner of love. It was through God's love that He sent His Son to die for us. It was a vicarious death. He allowed His Son to die upon the cross for us. And now, those of us who are saved, who accepted Jesus, we are called the sons of God, the sons and daughters of God, if I could say it that way, because of His great love. And so in like manner, we are beloved of our Father tonight, the same way that God the Father looked on God the Son and said, "This is My beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." Tonight, He is looking upon you and saying the very same thing. "This is My beloved Son. This is My beloved daughter in whom I'm well pleased." We have fellowship with the Father like the Son did when we walk in the light as He is in the light. We experience pain in life at times, and God allows it. We touched on that this morning. Yet God has a greater cause for our pain. There's times when we break the Father's heart, I'm sure, through disobedience and things that we should have done, we didn't do, and things we did do that we shouldn't have done. There's times when we break the Father's heart. But praise the Lord, we have experienced His resurrecting power as well in our life, in our moments of weakness. We know what it's like for God to endue us with power to overcome, and then one day we will see Him. Tonight, as a parent, we can see this in the same light. We love our daughter Lily, and we love her dearly. If you have children, you love your children, and you love them dearly, and you love to have fellowship with them. There's times where our children experience pain. There's times where, as a parental figure, as a father figure, as a mother figure, we see our kids going through things and we want to just jump in there and we want to save the day and we want to be the hero. I know I do. Christy does. I know you, their parents, do. But I'm learning the older she gets, Lily, there's times, Miss Becky, when I have to step back and let her fight her own battles, or she'll never learn. And it just eats me up. Me and Christy, we talk sometimes, like, "Well, should we just step in and do something? Should we just go down to the schoolhouse? What should we do?" Just like God the Father allowed God the Son to experience pain for a greater cause, the same for us as parents, we have to allow our children to feel some pain for a greater cause. And so we see that there in comparison. And there's time, no doubt, when our kids, they break our hearts or they hurt our hearts. And And we experience that as a parent as well. And there's times where we come back together and there's forgiveness, and all of those things wrapped up together is what we see tonight. We see that God the Father looked down from heaven and He said, "This is my beloved Son." So tonight, when it comes to a father's love, we see his position. But number two, we see the father's love for his son in his purpose. In his purpose. Jesus was obedient to his purpose, even his death on the cross. Let me share a verse or two with you. I'll just give it to you. It's Philippians 2, verse number 8 and 9. Listen to this. "And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." In other words, the Father was proud of the Son. The Son completed his task, and because of that, the Father was proud. I believe when he looked down from heaven and he said, "Lo, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." He was looking in the future, knowing his Son would complete the job. God tonight, he is certainly looking upon us, and he knows the roads that we take. He knows the paths that we take. He knows the things that we do for him and what we're trying to do. And no doubt the Father is pleased with us when we're obedient. Doesn't mean we won't experience pain or heartache like Jesus experienced pain and heartache, yet he finished his course. Doesn't mean we won't experience pain and heartache, but it does mean that we are trying to fulfill the Father's plan, and we know he's pleased when we do that. And we experience pain and heartache sometimes trying to run our race and finish our course. Doesn't mean God is displeased with us because we're experiencing pain and heartache. It just means when we're obedient or strive to be obedient, come what may, God never ceases to love us no matter what we experience or how dark it may get. He always loves us. "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." I love what Romans chapter number 8 says. Listen to this. Romans 8, verse number 35, concerning the Father's love towards us, it says, Romans 8, verse number 35, "Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword?" He goes down and he says in verse 38, "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." And so Jesus loves us when we're obedient, but also Jesus loves us when we're distant. When we're going through circumstances of trying times and things are dark and things are dreary, as the Bible says, what shall separate us from the love of God? Nothing. So I'm glad tonight that he loves us. He truly, truly loves us. We're talking about a father's love. We see his position. He's the Son. We see his purpose. He went to the cross. And at the same time, as we look at his purpose and going to the cross as parents, we love it when our kids succeed, don't we? When they accomplish and they start to grow and they mature and they learn lessons and they graduate, if you will, from the school of life, and they learn a few things. We're proud of them, and we thank the Lord that they're learning. The same way the Father felt about his Son who fulfilled his purpose. The same way he feels about us when we fulfill his purpose. The same way that us parents feel about our kids when they fulfill their purpose. So as parents, we love our kids when they're obedient, but we love our kids even when they're not obedient, because we're not always obedient to God, and He still loves us, and our kids are not always obedient to us, but we still love them. This is a father's love, but also this is a parental love as well. Thank God for the love of God. You know why a lot of parents can't love their kids right? Because they've never experienced the love of God. You know why a lot of people aren't good candidates to be in a relationship or to entertain a relationship? Is because sometimes some of these people who want to get in a relationship have never experienced the love of God for themselves, and so they have a hard time in a relationship experiencing a good relationship without the love of God. And so we see His purpose, but I said all that to say this. We see His performance in our main verse. Now, Matthew 3, verse 17, our text verse, the Bible says, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Wait a minute. Wait a minute. In whom I am well pleased. At this point in the life of Jesus, listen to this. He has performed no miracles yet. He has not raised the dead yet. Jesus has not walked on water yet. He has done none of these things yet. Yet, His Father looked down and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." Hasn't raised the dead yet, hadn't performed a miracle yet, hadn't walked on water yet. Yet, the Father still loved the Son. And I want to say tonight that it doesn't matter what great things we may accomplish or not accomplish, the Father loves us in regards to our performance. It doesn't matter what Lily achieves in life. It doesn't matter what she doesn't achieve. It's just that love factor is there. I love her with all my heart and all my soul. Unconditional love, the same love the Father had for the Son. Having done nothing yet in His earthly life, He still said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So tonight, this tells us that we can't earn God's love. Because Jesus did nothing performance-wise for God the Father to say this. God the Father just loved Him. Tonight, you may be here and you may be struggling to be obedient. You may be struggling in your life. And struggling with the fact, does Jesus, even as a believer, you may struggle with the fact, does Jesus really love me? Because of what I'm struggling with, what I'm going through in my life, does the Father really love me? If God the Father looked down to God the Son, and before He even walked on water, and He said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," you rest assured tonight, He loves you just as you are. And I think if we can get to a place of being content with God's love for us, whether the situation we're going through changes or not, whether we do any great work for God or not, whatever the case is, if we can just get content with the fact that He loves us, what a blessing that brings in our life. What contentment and joy that would bring. We see His performance here. And He hasn't made any kind of performance yet. Yet, the Father says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." So tonight, I told you I was going to keep it short, and I owned up to my word. That's the message. It's just a Father's love. We see it exhibited in His position, in His purpose, and in His performance. Father, we love You tonight. We thank You. We praise You for who You are, for what You do. And Lord, as we give the invitation, You never know. There may be someone here tonight who is struggling with receiving the Father's love. There may be someone here tonight that doesn't know You as their personal Lord and Savior. So, Lord, I pray tonight that you will just do what you want to do, give liberty during this time of invitation. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Miss Becky. Step.
That song, and I know Miss Kyla Rowland wrote that song a long time ago. When I sing that, my mind and heart goes back to when I sung that with my mother and daddy. We sung for several years as a little trio. We wasn't like real popular or nothing like that, but I want to go back and sing that last verse if y'all don't care. It reminds me, it makes me feel like they're standing right beside me singing. Now when the world is closing on in and life becomes a burden, Lord, I want to run, but there's no place to hide. I just look like old Stephen. Father, Lord, you roll the other.
I was in the funeral home. I was in the back, was preparing for a funeral, and I heard that song, and it sounded like the radio was on. And he was sitting there, had one foot up in a chair with his guitar and his suit. You know, he creases in his pants. I mean, he was just a jam-up guy in appearance. And he was singing that song, and I'll tell you, I felt the Lord. And it brought me back to that moment. And thank you so much for coming, Brother Billy. Thank y'all. Y'all were a blessing to us. Just love to join in with you together somehow. If days ahead and Sundays, Sunday nights or whatnot, keep it going. You know, we'll have you preach here before too long. That'd be great. It'd be good with you. And I tell you what I want to do, how I want us to end tonight. Not sharing all your information physically, Miss Becky, but I know that you have some trouble going on with your back and all. I like for our deacons to come down, all that are here, and surround Miss Becky and have prayer. Is that okay? Would that be okay with you?
Oh, yes.
And anybody else that would like to come pray, let's leave tonight praying for Miss Becky, Brother Billy, and she has some medical issues she needs to get taken care of, and she wants to get them taken care of. So let's come on down, and this is how...
I am supposed to see a rheumatologist Tuesday.
Tuesday, okay.
Because I don't know if we'll be able to do anything or not, but my primary doctor told me that he wanted me to see one. Okay. So you never know which path, you know, the Lord's going to take you. So.
Rheumatologist on Tuesday. And so let's just surround Miss Becky and have prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight in Jesus' name. And Lord, we serve a God that raised from the dead. And Father, that there's a throne room tonight that we can enter into where we can find grace to help in time of need. There's mercy there. Father, what a blessing Brother Billy and Sister Becky has been to us. And the music, her song choices for tonight was right on point, how we needed to hear those words. And Lord, how there's times where there is nowhere to hide and we have to be present. Thank you, God, for the strength you give for us to be present, to get things done. But tonight we pray for Miss Becky, God, that you would touch her body. I pray that you would touch her back, every place that's bothering her. Lord, she wants to serve you continually. And Father, she goes Tuesday to see the doctor. We pray for a good report. We pray for some kind of direction, Lord, that she can, some path she can go on where she can get better. And Father, I just pray for the sweet Holy Ghost to be near and dear to her, give her peace beyond her understanding. Brother Billy, as he pastors his church, to give him peace beyond his understanding, strength for the journey. God, I just pray that you would continue to use this sweet couple. I view them as mentors of mine. I just pray, God, that you'd keep them going and intervene on their behalf. We love you tonight. Thank you for using them. In Jesus' name we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen. Amen. And amen. We love you, Miss Becky. Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Brother Billy. We love you, man. Thank you, guys. Thank you. That's on her. She made... Instrumental or... I know you can, but
yeah, you may have to just, I don't know if it'll sit there by itself or not. I'm sorry, y'all. Sometimes if you don't sing them often, sometimes you.
Psalm 137, verse number 1 says this: By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us myrrh, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. And listen, this was the response: How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? I tell you, sometimes the Lord will require a song in a strange land. Sometimes through the waters, sometimes through the flood, sometimes through the fire, but always through the blood, God leads His dear children along. Yes. And the next time you find yourself in a strange place, the next time you find yourself in a strained place, just offer up a song to the Lord, because He's worthy for us to do so. But God certainly gives us a song in the night seasons. Thank you so much for that song, Miss Becky. Anybody else got anything before we close? I just had to mention that tonight. It jumped out to me. All right. Well, thank you so much for being here. God bless you. Remember Wednesday night service at 7 o'clock. All right. Consider yourself dismissed.